If you want to win money in NBA DFS, then listen to the judge. Most importantly, he will teach you to think like a successful NBA DFSer. If you want fake NBA DFS news from guys trying to take your money, then we kindly ask you to go listen to hashtag Garbage Grinders. My favorite part of the podcast is when he drinks water on air. Let you know he's been working hard. I still laugh every time I think about the judge saying that Tin Man Anthony Davis had to leave a game due to an eyelash injury. Because it's true. Well, thank you, Tractor Trailer RIP. And that absolutely is true. Anthony Davis, I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago, he certainly did need to leave a game because of a freaking eyelash injury. And why am I reading this glorious review? Well, one, it's a very clever review. And two, Anthony Davis goes out again tonight, like the 28th time this year. Unbelievable, the freaking Tin Man strikes again. Anyway, enough of this. DJ, where's my theme music? Let us start the show.
Court is now in session. Damn.
This episode of DJ's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we're off. Welcome to the show for Wednesday, March 15th, 2017. A 10-game slate on tap for Wednesday. After a very disappointing 5-game slate, just blowouts and injuries dominated the slate. And the one game that should have been a blowout and that Vegas told you was going to be a blowout, Golden State Philly, that ended up deciding all the money in the world, the late-night hammer, the 10:30 p.m. Eastern game. So a lot of you may be waking up, listening to this and being wake up and see your scores and what the hell happened here. That game stayed close? Yes, it stayed close. And guys like Draymond freaking Green put up monster lines and determined all the money. So for the judge, not a great night. Hopefully your night was a little better than me, but it was a low-scoring night. A lot of the chalk guys didn't come through. A lot of the bums didn't come through. There wasn't a lot of value to begin with. So a weird night. But Wednesday is back to a nice 10-game slate. Lots of options for us. So it'll be good. Before we start the show, please do three things for the judge. One, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. If you haven't been noticing, I am leading off the show by reading a glorious review. So go to iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you go. Write a little review for me. Give me 5 stars. Be clever with it, though. I want you to be creative. Show your creative side. I know you guys are funny. Some of the reviews are really freaking funny. Get in line, you know, think about the shows and, you know, let the creativity fester. And then, you know, write a little review and then, all the best ones I will read at the beginning of each show. So that's one, rate, review, subscribe. Number two, when I tweet out the show to the world, let us retweet it. March, as I've been mentioning last couple shows, March is a tough month for NBA DFS. It's a, you know, a lot of people have kind of either stopped playing, or it's just a grind. It's a long season in real life NBA, long season in NBA DFS. So we want to still grow the audience, continue to do our thing. So when I tweet out the show, retweet it. Also, if you guys want these short 5-10 minute audio clips, I don't think I'm asking too much, am I, to ask for like 50, 75, 100 retweets? Then I'll give you a 10-minute audio clip an hour before lineup lock of my top plays. So yeah. Retweet when I tweet out the link, do the RT. And number three, download the app, support the sponsor, download the app Draft. And when you do, use the promo code DFBPOD. If you cannot find out where to put the promo code, just tweet at me at DanielAGreen1, your username on Draft, and I will get you all set up. By the way, I forgot to introduce myself. I am the judge, your host, Daniel Green, and you can find me on Twitter, like I just mentioned. At Daniel A. Green 1. This show could be a mess because it's 4:20 Eastern in the morning. That's right. Those of you new to the show, the judge does these freaking shows super late because when else am I going to do them? God forbid, even with a snow day like we had in New York, it actually ended up only being, I think, a little less than a foot of snow in New York City. But the weather, the wind, it was just such a nasty, disgusting day. But you would think the judge would get a nice snow day, right? Nope. Does my office close down? No, of course not. God forbid. So no day off of work for me, even though the weather was a disaster. So yeah, I do these podcasts super late at night for you guys. And what's my reward? Trolls. I don't know what my reward is. Some days I do question, why the hell am I doing this? So yeah, this show, my show sheet, is not as great as it normally is. My preparation is not as good for tonight's show. I'm just saying that going into it. I'm exhausted. I'm angry. I'm bitter. I'm in a weird mood. So glad to have you. Glad to have you. But man, the winds were so freaking cold today. I swear, New York City is weird because New York, we have so many buildings here. Like from block to block, it can basically be different. If you go down one block, and the wind can hit you, because some streets you have some shelter from the wind. If you go down a certain, make the wrong turn and the wind catches you, and say it was like 40, 50 degree, 50 miles per hour winds. And man, like I was taking the bailiff for a walk and we went down the wrong street and the wind hit him, almost lifted him off the ground. So, and like, he was like, yeah, take me home. We are not walking in this crap. So hopefully wherever you guys, the weather didn't get that bad, but, man, I'm ready. So ready for this stupid winter or whatever this is to be over. All right. So I already mentioned download the app Draft. Every Wednesday we do have a new bracket up on the homepage of our sponsor. I did not see one before the show. So I sent an email out to the lovely people at Draft, and hopefully I'll hear back soon whenever a new bracket does come up. New Judges Chambers bracket. Remember, if you just open up the app on the homepage, you should see a Judges Chambers bracket. So there wasn't one as of 4:20 Eastern, but whenever one does come up, I will make sure to let you guys know. And let's just jump right into Chambers, shall we, for Tuesday? Oh, no, I know what I want to talk about. So I mentioned on the last pod I did, I think it was, what, for Monday? We are going to do a Judges Chambers head-to-head style NCAA bracket. The problem is, I don't think a lot of people listened to me last show because the steps are pretty easy. If you want to participate in this, the first thing you need to do is follow at DG Courtroom on Twitter. Right now, only about 43, 44 people have followed that. So obviously, that's not enough people to have head-to-head style NCAA brackets. Now, I also got a bunch of you tweeting at me normally, but it's too hard for me to sort. So you need to tweet. I mean, just follow these instructions. Follow at DG Courtroom on Twitter. Then tweet at DG Courtroom what bracket you want. Do you want to play in the FanDuel bracket or the DraftKings bracket? Also, very important, tweet your username on FanDuel or DraftKings. You have to do those three things if you want to play in the NCAA head-to-head style bracket. Follow DG Courtroom on Twitter, tweet what Chambers bracket you want, FanDuel or DraftKings, and tweet your username for FanDuel or DraftKings. Three simple steps. Because the problem is this. I know lots of guys who want to play, but I might know your username on FanDuel or DraftKings, but I don't know what your Twitter handle is, or vice versa. I need to know both in order to be able to get you to create this bracket. So follow those steps. As of right now, because we're just logistically and administratively, we can't get this ready by Thursday because people just haven't followed the directions yet. And it didn't help that I wasn't able to do a show yesterday due to the snowstorm. So right now we are aiming to start the NCAA bracket for the Judges Chambers 1 week from Thursday, which is going to be what? I guess that would be March. God, why am I wrote this down somewhere before the show. Now I can't see where I wrote it. A week from Thursday shall be March 23rd. Yes, so we are starting in March 23rd. So now it gives you guys plenty of time to follow those stupid directions, right? So follow at DG Courtroom, tweet what bracket you want, FanDuel or DraftKings, and tweet your username for either FanDuel or DraftKings. So we're gonna, if we can get 64 people in each, that's what we're going to do. If we get more, maybe we'll do more. Now we do have some time. And then basically what's going to happen is each of you are going to PayPal me $5, and then the higher the seed, once I create the bracket, the higher seed number, we'll be creating a head-to-head, like a free contest. It's real simple to do. Then you guys will just send me your screenshots end of the night. I will update the brackets, and then I got to figure out what the prize pool should be. But it'll be fun. So again, if you guys just follow those rules, we'll get this thing put together. And again, we're shooting to start it a week from Thursday. So it's not going to start when the real NCAA tournament. But again, the real NCAA tournament goes for 3 weeks. So we still have plenty of time. All right. In terms of actual chambers for Tuesday night, only ran 2 on FanDuel and ran 3 on DraftKings. My life is crazy, hectic. Time is an issue. Some days, maybe I only open two chambers on FanDuel. And that happened on Tuesday. So only 2 of them on FanDuel. And you're asking, if you're new to the show, you're asking, what the hell is Chambers? What's this guy rambling about? He's making no sense. He's not coherent. Why is he doing shows at 4:30 in the morning? I don't know the answer to all those questions. But in terms of what is Chambers, it is the glorious tournament where the best DFS players in the world compete against each other. So on Tuesday, MG Fresh finally came back. It was on a legendary streak about a month ago. Has now seemed to – maybe he's – is he recapturing that magic? He took down one of the FanDuel chambers with a score of 298. It was a super low scoring night, guys. I told you, a lot of blowouts, a lot of injuries. There's not a lot of value, and a lot of chalk guys play like crap. So when that happens, it's going to be a low scoring night. So the FanDuel chambers, they had scores of 298, both of them. So MG Fresh took down one of them, and MK Knutson took down the other one. On DraftKings, again, low scoring night. Brian Ziv ZX, 21. With a score of 293, he took down the DraftKings chambers. MG Fresh got second, so he's good on both sites. And then Niner Nation got third with a score of 281. Man, in terms of dream killers and dream lovers, as you know, this is an Emmy Award winning segment, so let me just introduce it properly, right? It's the least I can do. So let's talk about dream killers and dream lovers. Well, blowouts and injuries. It was just a disgusting night. I'm glad I purposely lineup lock was 7 o'clock Eastern. I had a quick phone call. Then I took the bailiff out for a walk. I come back. It's 7:40 Eastern, something like that. And I see the Cavs are already up like 30 on Detroit in the second quarter, early in the second quarter. So right then I took my gavel. I put it really far from me because I would have started throwing things, and I started getting angry because that's never a good sign when you have only a 5-game slate and one of them already has a blow up potential, you know, that early. How do you get down 30 in like 14 NBA minutes? It's just unbelievable. And Detroit's fighting for a playoff spot. Just frustrating. So blowouts and injuries, a dream killer for sure. In terms of other ones, Porzingis, when he sprained his ankle, he was 50-60% owned. He was super chalk, just disgraceful, freaking Knicks. And that Indiana Knicks game in general, the pace of that game, of course, the one game that stays close, it's like 87-83, something disgusting, just painful to watch. It was a tough night. I mean, some days, I don't know if all of you guys actually watch the games. Some days I just wish I did not watch the games. I could just wake up like, a lot of you guys, look at my score, and I would just be like, oh, I won money or I lost money. But like sometimes watching the games and living through this, I'm pretty sure it's taken years off my life. I'm pretty sure I'm aging like the bailiff in Dog Years. I'm pretty sure, before I started doing this podcast, plus I got sleep before, I think I was relatively handsome. I got to look in the mirror and see. I don't know. Maybe I can stop doing the podcast. This can't be good for my health. I'm pretty sure heart disease runs in my family as well. Anyway, Steven Adams. Can anyone explain what the hell has happened to me? Like, if you watch the games, he's there. Physically, he's there. I don't know if an OKC fan can tell me what the hell is going on with him. Does anyone go to an Oklahoma City game? Is it an imposter? I cannot figure out for the life of me what has happened to him. So OKC played Brooklyn, the perfect spot in the world. He gets Brooke Lopez, a guy who can't get a rebound to save his life. But Steven Adams does nothing. He's dirt cheap. He's under 5K at this point on almost all sites. And he still can't even get value. It's just really puzzling. And then I made the mistake of listening to this stupid Bill Simmons podcast. Well, no, I like the Bill Simmons podcast. And then he had Zach Lowe on it, I guess, yesterday. And by the way, I've never seen so many of you adult grown men grow erections by seeing Bill Simmons and Zach Lowe together on a podcast. I mean, my timeline must have had so many tweets from fully aroused men. I didn't see any ladies getting excited. Maybe some women were excited too by seeing how excited they were by having Zach Lowe and Bill Simmons together on a podcast. It was pretty funny. I will personally still go look at the real CJ Miles instead of listening to that. But actually, I did listen to some of that podcast. And even on that podcast, I had to turn that off as well. Basically, everything on Monday night or Tuesday night, I had to turn off. Because what are they talking about on that podcast? How great Steven Adams was in the playoffs last year. And basically, how good he, you know, in his big contract, and how good of an actual NBA player he is. But, like, what the hell's happened to him? He's been a disaster now for, what, 2, 3, 4 weeks? Just abysmal. He's basically unplayable at this point. So against Brooklyn, he can't even take advantage of that. Soul freaking crusher. And then you had a bunch of other centers go nuts. Miles Turner went nuts. Drummond, of course, they can go nuts because he stinks and he's falling asleep. Hernan Gomez went nuts. Cousins was great, but he was chalk. So Adams was a big letdown. And he was low-owned, too. He was only like 12% owned. So even against Brooklyn, can't take advantage. Then you have Thaddeus Young. Same questions about Thaddeus Young. I mean, Thaddeus Young is not as young as Steven Adams. So Thaddeus Young is, you know, it's somewhat not as surprising that he's struggled lately. But Thaddeus Young has been a disaster. Same as Steven Adams for, what, 2, 3 weeks now? So he's another guy. Both him and Steven Adams are under 5K at this point, and they still stink. So very frustrating if you play Thaddeus Young. That Indiana Knicks game was just painful. Really, I think the only guy that did anything that was probably Melo. Melo got close to hitting value. Melo outperformed Paul George. Then you had Mo Harkless and his clone brother, identical twin Roberson. What you had on display on Tuesday was you saw what happens when you get two guys who have zero usage rates. Harkless and Roberson did nothing. It was just excruciatingly painful. Harkless, for a short time, he was a consistency monster. He was giving you like he was at least stumbling, bumbling, and fumbling his way to like 20-25 Bando points. And lately, that has not happened. So he was actually like I think it was around over 20% owned. He was super disappointing. CJ McCollum was an absolute mess. Portland got blitzed by the Pelicans. I mean, they lost by 23 points to New Orleans. And again, Portland's fighting for a playoff spot too. So it was just a wacky night. The Crash Brothers, and that's what I call them. They are not the Splash Brothers. Anyone who calls them the Splash Brothers, you have a lot of nerve doing that lately because Steph and Clay stink. And Steph was – I mean, the one thing to keep in mind is that Steph is still shooting a ton. He did 23 shots. He was 8 for 23. Clay actually shot okay. He was 10 for 22. He was 5 of 9 from three-point range. So those two guys without Durant, they're getting tons of shots. The problem with Clay is he's just utterly useless besides shooting. He can't stumble and bubble into rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. He lets Draymond Green get all of those. And Steph Curry, just at his price, over 10K, he needs to shoot better. He end up, I think, around like 44 FanDuel points, and that's fine. But is that enough to take down a tournament? No, especially not a point guard, because a point guard, there's always guys that are going to smash value. So, you know, and especially a guy like Westbrook, if you played like Steph Curry over Westbrook, that did not work out for you tonight. Other than that, another bum crab. If you tried crab legs, that didn't work. And then Drummond has cost me more money than anyone this year. He's consistently so low owned. And on this slate, I knew he was going to be crazy low owned because you basically had Cousins at a similar price. Now Cousins' price dropped all the way to 9K on FanDuel. Drummond was 8K. And he's played up against Cleveland. The Cavs, since Kevin Love went out, and because Tristan Thompson feels like he has to be this Iron Man and play every game, and Tristan Thompson, hashtag the Triscuit, is also undersized. So they're a horrendous rebounding team, Cleveland, at least lately. So this should have been an ideal spot for Drummond, but no. The Pistons got absolutely waxed, as I mentioned. They lost 128-96, but that game was over after 6 minutes. So Drummond did not come through at all. How many minutes? He played 27 minutes. He actually took 12 shots for him. That's a ton of shots. He had 8 points, 14 rebounds, but just not enough. In terms of dream lovers, Draymond Green was the key to being. He was in every winning lineup I saw. So again, if you played him, went to bed, then you're going to wake up. You're going to be pretty freaking happy because that idiot put up 60 FanDuel points, only shot 4 of 12 from the field, but if you play Draymond Green, you're not playing him for that. I mean, what was surprising is he got a 14 free throws. 14. 20 points, 6 freaking blocks, 4 steals, 8 assists. You know, and that's the thing without Durant. I mean, Durant, people don't realize Durant did so much for that Golden State team, and he also initiated offense. He played like a lot of de facto point guard. They would have like they can have Stephen Clay running off of screens, and Durant could basically run point. So without Durant, Draymond Green gets to initiate a lot more offense. He's a lot more involved in that offense in general. So he put up on being a monster line. So if you played him, congrats. Rashawn Holmes, that same – we need to stay in this Philly Golden State game. Saric was great because the game stayed close. Golden State was a 17-point favorite, I think. And – or maybe they were a 14-point favorite. I don't remember now. No, I think they were 17. And quite honestly, they should have lost. I mean, they were losing big going into the fourth quarter. And then they outscored Philadelphia 28-14 in the fourth quarter because, like, Philly has to lose. Philly's tanking. Who knows how much in play that was in the fourth quarter, but Saric was great. 37 minutes, 11 for 20 from the field, 25 points, 2 blocks, 3 steals, six assists. Covington shot the ball horribly, but the one good thing about Covington is he's not a one trick pony. Unlike all the other bums we always mentioned, like the CJ McCollums, like the Klay Thompsons who do nothing but shoot. Covington is all over the court. He's a lot of fun to watch because he shot 1 of 8. That was horrible. Only scored 7 actual points, but he gets you 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. So that's why, I mean, Covington, that's why you can afford to play him and feel pretty good about it most nights. Now his price is going up because even if he has a bad shooting night, he can still salvage it for you. Whereas the other guys, if they're shooting bad, you're screwed. Otherwise for, let's see, TLC got the start again. I think someone tweeted me on Twitter if TLC was going to get the start. So I think I might've, I'm not sure when the hell that happened, with when they benched Gerald Henderson, if that was 2 games ago, if that was this game. All this stuff is fading into an abyss for me lately. But TLC did get the start. And you're wondering if you don't know who TLC is, I just can't pronounce his name. It's Luwawa Cabarallo, hashtag cabaret, whatever. He got 23 minutes, 10 points, 2 assists, 3 steals, 10 points, 1 steal, 2 assists, 3 rebounds. So maybe they're going to give him some extra minutes down the stretch. He's dirt cheap, so he'll be playable, I think. McConnell was okay. 7 points, 10 assists, 2 steals, 7 rebounds. At his price, he was probably fine for the slate. For Golden State, besides Draymond, though, really no one was good. The only other guy who really hit value was Matt freaking Barnes, who in 22 minutes got 10 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. And I think he had like 24 Vanderbilt points. I actually saw him in some winning lineups as well, which is always a weird night if you see Matt freaking Barnes in winning GPP lineups. Jeremy Lin was great. I'm pretty sure I listened to one of the shows on one of the different sites, and the first thing they said, this guy led the show by saying, Jeremy Lin on FanDuel, unplayable! Unplayable at 5.8K. I'm pretty also sure this guy's been wrong every single day of the NBA season. It's just, whatever this guy says, you should do the exact opposite. Why he would say Lin's unplayable, not really sure. Just look at his game log. You don't even have to watch him play. He's been consistently mediocre, but he's been consistent somewhat, like 3-4 games in a row, giving you 27, 28 minutes and getting you close to 30 fandom points. And at his price, that's all you need. So he played a little bit better on this slate, and he had close to like 35 fandom points, and he was in a ton of winning GPP lineups. And that guy's an absolute buffoon. So anyway, Lin was pretty good. If Lin ever starts getting over 30 minutes, he can put up monster lines on that horrendous Brooklyn team. Is Coach Atkinson ever going to let him play that many minutes? I have no idea. That's one of the life's mysteries, is figuring out that rotation. It's literally, I mean, if you gave me a Rubik's Cube, and I don't know if I mentioned this on the show or not, like, I cannot solve a Rubik's Cube. I can't do it. If you gave me that thing and gave me 24 hours, I would not be able to solve the Rubik's Cube. It's the same thing with Atkinson's rotation. You give me all the time in the world, I couldn't figure out. No one can. It's impossible. I dare you to try. It actually would be a fun game for us to do. Just next game, we should have some type of contest and try to guess all the players' minutes. I swear, it's impossible. Other dream lovers, though. Hernan Gomez, he was tremendous. 13 points, 16 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 1 block in that horrible Knicks-Indiana game. And I've said this on a couple other shows. When the pace is slow, the only person that benefits is the big, slow, goofy, most days it's big white guys, like a Hernan Gomez. He was great. Now, Miles Turner is not white, but also Miles Turner also had a good game for the Indiana center, because and that made sense, because obviously you can attack the Knicks bigs all year long. So Miles Turner was pretty good, but given his salary, Hernan Gomez was out of the two the would have been the dream lover. Matt Barnes, I mentioned him, and then LeVert for Brooklyn. He's man. If you watch the Nets play, LeVert's like sometimes LeVert and Ronnie Hollis Jefferson, they will jump off the screen. Like those two guys really are athletically gifted and super talented players. They're never probably going to get enough minutes where they can be consistently, putting up 40, 50 fandom point nights, but they can, if they have a good game, they can give you like 30, 35. And that's what LeVert did on this slate. Those guys, I mean, they're talented. All right, so before we get into the slate, let's talk a little bit about strategy the rest of the way. Because as you may have noticed, we've had some late scratches. I mean, I think a couple nights ago, Covington was a late scratch. And there's nothing worse than after lineup block, finding out one of your players is going to be out. And we're in the home stretch, right? So there's only about 15 games or less for these teams, for every NBA team. And there's certain things you can do to try to avoid late scratches and, getting killed by basically late news after lineup lock. And one of the easiest, simplest approaches to do is just play guys from teams with something to play for, right? So, I mean, look at the NBA standings. Play guys from teams who are battling for playoff spots. So, if you look at the standings, now it didn't work tonight, but Portland is battling for a playoff spot right now for the eighth seed in the West, with Denver, guys from those two teams. And really, it's going to be weird if you see a late scratch Damian Lillard. That's not going to happen. Minnesota is also battling. You can do a simple thing like that. And conversely, avoid teams who are tanking, right? And especially avoid the teams who have a protected lottery pick, like the Lakers, like the Kings. That was the other team. We saw a couple days ago, right after lineup lock. I'm pretty sure the Kings rested half their squad. They rested Kufis, Lawson, Tyreek Evans, because they have to lose. They have a protected lottery pick. The Lakers have a top three protected lottery pick. The Lakers do the wackiest things in the world. Luke Walton play. It's also funny. Denver and Lakers are two. If you watch those two teams play, Mike Malone will keep his starters in up 30. It's freaking amazing. It's just from a DFS perspective. If you play the Denver starters, you actually love that. It actually cost me a lot of money one day when someone had Gary Harrison beat me. But the Lakers, on the other hand, Luke Walton, we have no clue what he's going to do with that rotation. Now, he also will play his starters like down 30, but he benched Jordan. He benched D'Angelo Russell last game for Jordan Clarkson. Who the hell is that? I saw that coming. So the Lakers, if you're playing these teams, playing guys from teams like the Lakers, like Philly, who has to tank, like the Kings, for the most part, if you want to use them as only tournament guys, I think that's a fine approach to do. Play safer, and you should be doing this anyway. But in cash games, you need safety, right? So maybe in cash games, just don't. If you don't know a coach, if a coach doesn't have a set rotation after 65, 67 freaking games, maybe that means you shouldn't play anyone from that team in a cash game, right? So it's gonna be weird. There's probably going to be one or two things. This happens anyway in DFS, right? Every night there's something bizarre and wacky that happens. So it's especially going to happen these last 15 games when you have team. We have no idea. We don't know what's going on inside these coaches' head. What is the GM telling them? If they have to lose games, I don't know how a lot of these teams are going to split up the minutes. So one of the best things to do is just, if you're not certain of it, just put them in tournaments. In cash games, just go the nice safe route, play the guys battling for playoff spots. All right, and injury news for Wednesday. Batum, I don't know why he's still – looks like he's doubtful with a migraine. Isn't a migraine only like a one-game thing? It's like a one-day thing? I've never had migraines, so I don't really know. But Batum is, at least according to Basketball Monster, he's doubtful. So obviously if he's doubtful, I guess I would have to check Lamb's – we'll check Lamb's salary – but Lamb should be almost a lock as long as his price didn't skyrocket. On DraftKings, it might have went way up. But Lamb will be an elite play if Batum is out. Marvin Williams, dear God, can he have four straight games going nuts? Best player in the world right now, Marvin Williams. Wesley Matthews dealing with a right calf strain. He's questionable. Nerlens Noel is questionable. Two things regarding that. One, if Noel's out, Dallas can be just whoever Dallas is playing, and they are playing Washington. Gortat, and I'm pretty sure Gortat's being like benched for who? Jason Smith? I'm not even sure who else is. Or no, no, it's Mahinmi. Both those guys are going to be in play because if Noel is out, that means like Dirk plays a lot of the five. And if Dirk is playing the five, I've been doing this for the last few weeks, ever since they put Dirk at the five. I immediately have one lineup playing the opposing center. So if Nerlens is out, feel free to attack the Dallas bigs because Dallas cannot rebound to save their lives. Wes Matthews, with him being out, obviously it makes a guy like Seth Curry a little bit more playable. And J.J. Brea will be a sneaky little play on this. No pun intended because he is 3 feet, 7 inches tall. Could be a sneaky play. Other than that, man, not a lot of injury news. Tyreke Evans is still questionable with ankle soreness, although if he sits out, they'll probably just Sacramento just wants to tank. Alex Len with a hip injury. This is somewhat interesting for Phoenix. And Phoenix is in one of the better games of the night in terms of pace. Phoenix is playing. I think Phoenix is playing. Where are they? I think they're playing Sacramento. Yeah, so Phoenix is playing Sacramento on a 221 over-under. So I'm not sure if Len is out. I mean, Phoenix, they could go small. They could actually put, like, Chris at the five. Or they could finally let Big Saw start. Williams, who's been tremendous. Do they finally let Tyson Chandler play? So, I mean, I'm not really sure what Phoenix is going to do. They have some options. All right, let's hop into the slate and take a quick little trip to Vegas. Man, I'm like extra. I don't know. My lips, I'm extra parched today. I think it's because the weather makes my lips chapped, and then when your lips get chapped, it makes it hard to talk and pronunciate your words. And obviously, when you're doing a podcast, like talking is pretty important. Man, so this weather has been a dream killer in like a thousand different ways. I have trouble talking anyway because I have so much going through my head at this hour and so much stuff I want to tell you guys. I'm always stuttering and mumbling and bumbling anyway. So not a good sign. My lips are super chapped. This freaking weather. Man. All right. So over-unders for this slate. We're waiting on Charlotte, Indiana. In terms of the best game to attack and just in terms of the overall number is Lakers-Houston. The problem here is Houston is a 17.5-point favorite against the Lakers. But over-under is massive. It's 235. Now, Vegas has been wrong a lot this year. So it's a 10-game slate. If you want to fade this game, I get it. It makes sense. But I think there's merits to playing guys, especially on the Lakers, because now it would probably be tournaments only for me. If you want to fade this game in cash, totally understandable. Tournaments, though, I think we have to attack it. One, we already saw Luke Walton. Even the Lakers are down 30 to Houston. He can play the young guys. He's going to play Ingram 35 minutes regardless. Zubac should be able to get a lot of minutes as well. And then Russell and Randall, you would think those guys are going to see close to 30 minutes. And Clarkson, by the way, who's starting now. So I think all those guys are still in ideal spots, even if they get blown out. And then for Houston, that one's a little more troubling because Harden is super expensive. But if that game does stay close, fantasy gold. So in tournaments, if you're a tournament player, obviously you're going to have one lineup and stack that game. Other than that, the next game, it's after that. It goes down a lot because you got Sacramento, Phoenix, Sacramento playing way up in pace, 221 over under. That's a monster line for a Sacramento Kings game. You got Portland and the Spurs. Spurs are favored by 10.5. To me, I don't know. I think Portland can keep that close without the Marcus Aldridge. 212 over under there. Minnesota, Boston, 210 over under. Bucks, Clippers, 210 over under. That seems high to me. Then you have four games that are somewhat nasty. You have Dallas, Washington, 208, Pelicans, Heat, 208, Memphis Bulls. This game, just I want to throw up already just thinking about how slow that's going to be, 200.5. The one interesting thing is Memphis' defense has not been as good lately as we're used to. So I do think some of the Bulls are going to be in play on this slate, but that's not going to be a great game to watch. And then, man, Utah-Detroit. Just, yeah, if you have League Pass, that's probably a game that will be just have a lot of dust on it because I don't want to switch to that channel. Man, 199 over under for that game. Utah's a 3-point favorite. All right, in terms of pace, you know, I love, I don't know how many things in life right now. Let's just say two for this slate. Right now, I just love the bailiff and pace. I don't even love usage right now. I'm in a weird state of mind. I'm just kidding. I love usage. How can you not love usage? Look at what Roberson and Harkless did to us on Tuesday night. Of course I love usage. Love three things. Bailiff, pace, and usage. So teams playing way up in pace. Sacramento and Lakers. Those guys are going to be in really good spots. The problem is, what did I mention like 5 minutes ago? Who do we want to avoid, especially in cash games? Teams that are tanking. Who are the two teams in the NBA, the first ones that come to my mind when I think of tanking? Kings and Lakers. So, to me, tournaments only probably for the Kings and Lakers, but elite spots for tournaments. Then you have, let's see, that's about it. There's no one else significantly playing up in pace. Those are the only two freaking teams on a 10-game slate. All right, let's hop into the plays. Top plays at each position. Even my singing voice, you can probably tell it's not as great today. So, start with point guard, as always, it's loaded. It's 10-game slate, so there's going to be guys that are going to smash value. As always, John Wall's overpriced. He's 10.4K. So, do you need to do it? No, you do not. Also, playing way down in pace against Dallas. Dallas has been pretty good defending point guards this year. With that said, is Wall his nice cash game play? Is he going to get you probably around 40 to 45? Yeah, he is. So, I don't mind it for cash. In a tournament, it's hard to envision him going berserk for like 60, 65 Vando points on this slate. You can do it, but not an elite spot for him on Tuesday or on Wednesday. Getting all the days mixed up. Chris Paul, 8.9K. Chris Paul was great his last game against Utah. If you watch that game, it was weird because there's a lot of games where he is super passive. And he's, you know what? If you watch him play, him and Harden are very similar. They're very methodical on the court. Both of them look kind of chunky. They look a little big. I call it Harden Cheeto face. I'm not sure if Chris Paul's not. I mean, he's not fat. I think a lot of it is just their girth. Their lower bodies especially are pretty strong. But they play at such a methodical, kind of boring pace. But against Utah, Chris Paul was super aggressive offensively. So if he keeps that up, that'd be tremendous for the Clippers. I'm not like Willie. I don't know. I think Utah, that game was really weird to watch because Utah, I think they held Blake Griffin to 8 actual points. And I'm pretty sure down the stretch, Gordon Hayward was defending Blake Griffin and he was able to hold his ground, which if you're a Clippers fan, that had to be infuriating, because that should not happen. Blake Griffin should have destroyed Gordon Hayward. But I mean, maybe Gordon Hayward has super sneaky strength that I was not aware of because he was definitely able to defend Blake. And actually, and if Utah put Gordon Hayward at the four, because I mean, they basically play Joe Johnson and Gordon Hayward at the end of games lately. So it's an interesting strategy that Utah was doing as well. But so Chris Paul gets the Bucks. The Bucks play so slow. They're a tough team to attack at the point guard position. At least they have been all year. I still think Chris Paul's fine. The problem is, I think he played as well as he could play against Utah and had 50 Fando points. So that seems to be about his ceiling. Is that enough to take down a tournament? No, I don't think it is, because that's not even 6 times his salary. So fine, he's probably a decent cash game play. And maybe because you can attack Bucks bigs, if you wanted to team up a Chris Paul and use some correlation and team him up with like a DeAndre Jordan, maybe I could see that go in like a tournament. But it's hard to see him in like a winning GPP lineup on Wednesday. Isaiah Thomas, 8.8K. The good thing about Isaiah, who has not been great lately, is his price is falling. The problem is it's not falling fast enough for me. The last game was a misnomer because they blew out the Bulls in the first 6 minutes of that game. What's up, guys? Now, if you're listening to this, you probably think I was just in the middle of a sentence talking about Isaiah Thomas, right? Well, no, that's wrong, because unbeknownst to me, I went on recording the rest of that podcast talking about every single player, and as I went to check and upload it and post it to iTunes and to the world, there was an issue with Google Hangouts. I usually normally record this podcast off of Google Hangouts, and for whatever unknown reason, because today IT issues are a dream killer and Google Hangouts is a dream killer, And as you can probably hear, the bailiff is now furious. It cut the entire last half of the podcast off, and it basically the audio just went completely moot and mute. So, Dream Killer. So, what am I going to do now? I'm going to rush through the rest of these all the plays. So I'm going to do like an abbreviated version of still giving you all the plays, but it's not going to be where it normally was. I mean, also now it's 7:15 a.m. Eastern, and I have to be in my office in less than 2 hours. So this is an absolute nightmare. But let's do the, you know, it happened. Let's do the best we can. On with the plays. As I was saying to you guys, even though it's now it's, what, 2, 3, 4 hours later, Isaiah Thomas, last game was a blowout. It was a misnomer. I do like the fact his price has come down. I think Rubio in this match, I like stacking this game, this Minnesota-Boston game, but I still think Rubio is the better play from this game because my favorite thing in the world is attacking Isaiah Thomas' defense. Bailiff, relax, my friend. I know, it sucks, but it's we got the show goes on, right? The show must go on. Damian Lillard, he's been great since All-Star break. The one good thing about him playing in a blowout game on Tuesday night against New Orleans was that he only played 31 minutes. He still played well. He had 29 actual points. He had 32 FanDuel points. He doesn't have massive upside, but he's been consistently good since All-Star break. Not a great matchup here versus the Spurs. He'll be low-owned. So if you want to use him tournaments, you can. Kemba Walker, he's similar to Dame. Him and Judy Dench have both been really good since All-Star break. I think Walker is in a better matchup. Here, the pace will be a little bit better. Obviously, the defense will be not as good against Indiana. So I guess I'd prefer Kemba to Lillard. Kemba's another guy. He's going to be low-owned. And one issue with him, Kemba's a very safe cash game play right now. I don't know what his upside is. He hasn't given you 50 FanDuel points since February 23rd. He's been in the 40s like 8, 9, 10 times. So he's probably, you know, he's more of a cash game play at this point. But he's very safe. You can feel very comforting playing Kemba Walker. He's the opposite of Google Hangouts. Google Hangouts would be the equivalent right now of like Kent frickin' Bazemore. Bledsoe, a Magic Mountain guy. So he returned. There were a few months ago, or maybe a month ago, I had to remove him from Magic Mountain. The judge and the bailiff, we waiting all in a big line with all the rides. Bledsoe's there. Wiggins is there. Drummond's falling asleep there. And I had to kick Bledsoe out. I'm like, you're being too consistent. You can no longer ride on roller coasters. But now he's back. The last three games, he's been in like the 20s or low 30s. The minutes have become an issue, which is concerning for me. He's tournaments only. He sees in like the low 30s, high 20s minutes these days. Phoenix is rolling out all kinds of weird lineups. So tournaments only. Mike Conley, you can attack Bulls point guards, especially if Rondo is going to continue starting, which he should. So Conley's in a sneaky good spot. The problem is his price is too high. So not a tremendous upside there. But he's another guy. Just a safe, comforting guy if you want to play someone to get you around 30, 35 FanDuel points. Ricky Rubio, man, he's been excellent. It's weird because I don't like rostering guys with low usage rates. You know, guys like Harkless and Roberson who killed us on Tuesday. Rubio has a 21% usage rate. But it's like going up. The last couple games, he's like taking close to as many shots as Wiggins. He had 57 FanDuel points last game. So the recency bias stinks. I didn't think he's going to be high owned on this slate. But he gets Isaiah Thomas' defense. There's literally nothing better in the world. I mean, think of whatever your favorite fast food is. Is it In-N-Out Burger? Is it Chipotle? Boston Market, Chick-fil-A, whatever it is. That's what Ricky Rubio gets to eat on Wednesday. So elite play all formats. Dragic, him and his black, horrendous black eye. You should Google Dragic black eye to see how he looks these days. He's going to play, though, on Wednesday. He'll be low-owned against the Pelicans. That's just going to be a disgusting game, though. I don't really need Dragic on this slate. I tried to play Teague on Tuesday. That didn't work out for me. I thought Teague against the Knicks, that'd be a good spot for him. But when the pace of the game is slow, the one position that it will affect the most and impact the most is point guard. The pace of that game was dreadful. Quite honestly, you got to blame the point guards. I don't know why he wasn't pushing the pace. Watching that game, it was infuriating to watch. He's been trending in the wrong direction for the last month or so anyway. On a five-game slate on Tuesday, I thought it was worth a shot. On a 10-game slate now, do I need to play Teague at that price? No, I do not. The only reason to play him is simply because you're playing ownership. You know he's going to be super low-owned. So if I'm a tournament player and I have 10 lineups, do I throw him in one? Maybe. D'Angelo Russell, the good thing with him coming off the bench is maybe he won't see it against Houston. Maybe he won't see as much Patrick Beverley defense. He's an elite tournament play. If you don't want to use him in cash games now coming off the bench, I would get it. He's a malcontent. He's a misanthrope. He mopes around the court. He stands in corners, you know, some games, but he still has a 30% usage rate. Luke Walton says he's still going to get 30 minutes. So am I going to play him in tournaments against Houston in a 230, whatever over under that game is? Of course I will. Especially, it doesn't matter if that game stays close. It's because Luke Walton's playing this, you know, playing his main guys down 30. So I think Russell is an elite tournament play. Is he a cash game play on this slate? Probably not. Darren Collison, he went nuts last game. You know, I think Lawson was out, though. He had 44 FanDuel points. If Lawson is out again, I think Collison playing way up in pace against Phoenix is fine for any format you want. If Lawson plays, if Tyreek plays, if all those guys play, he's not as good of a play. But he's fine, especially if Lawson is out, he's going to have the ball in his hands a ton and playing way up in pace. Yeah, I think it's fine. Jordan Clarkson. So he's starting for the Lakers, and if you don't want to pay for Russell, because you can get Clarkson at $900 cheaper. And to me, Clarkson is pretty much safe for all formats on this slate. Again, if you're worried about the blowout, you're worried about Beverly defense, fine. Then don't play Clarkson in cash. You don't have to. There's enough value. There's enough good point guards where you can look elsewhere. But it's hard to imagine if he gets 30 minutes. How can he not bumble and stumble and fumble into 25, 30 FanDuel points? To me, safe for all formats. Although, yeah, I do get why you could be concerned potentially in cash games. Rondo, look, if you to me, you could roll out a Clarkson Rondo lineup, and I could think, could that be the winning tournament lineup? Those two guys are your point guards. It could be. The thing with Rondo, so Rondo's playing Memphis. Slow pace game, right? Yes, but if there's one point guard who I'm not as concerned about a slow pace game, it's Rondo. Think off the top of your head, which point guard lately has been playing super well in slow pace games? Elfrid Payton. You know what Elfrid Payton does? He fills up the stat sheet. He's getting you points, rebounds, and assists. Not a ton of points, but Rondo's a similar type player. Rondo will fill up the stat sheet. So even in a slow-paced game, if he starts and gets 35 minutes, he's going to get probably around 10 points, probably around 6, 7 rebounds, and hopefully 8, 9, 10 assists. So to me, on this slate, I don't even care if it's against Memphis. I wish it was against a Houston, you know, playing fast up in pace. But if there is a point guard that pace does not impact it as much, it's Rondo. So to me, safe for all formats, and the Bulls need him to play well. Remember, the Bulls need to win games. So I think they're going to give him big minutes until they basically he either craps the bed or they fall out of playoff contention now. Beverly, again, you can play any Houston guy you want against the Lakers. You can play. Just know there's a blowout concern. So all the Rockets guys are probably going to be tournament plays only for me. The only guy I'm wavering on is Harden right now. Tyler Johnson, with Dragic back, don't feel the need to do that. Reggie Jackson, look, you still can play Reggie Jackson on this slate too. I know people are going to say Utah and be scared and run away in fear. You can run away in fear just because you see Reggie Jackson's name as well. But look, you can attack Utah point guards, and he's so dirt cheap. If he plays a full allotment of minutes, which is an issue anyway because Stan Van might bench him, he could get 25-30 pretty easily. So I don't hate that play for tournaments. Other than that, under 5K, I'm not really going to play anyone else. Shooting guard. So James Harden, I'm still debating if I want to use him in cash. He's 12K. That's expensive. It's the Lakers. I mean, you have two theories here, right? One is they blow him out. He only gets 28 minutes. The other is, two, the game stays close. He gets 40 minutes and gets 1,000 bazillion FanDuel points and wins and helps you win a car. Or even three, they blow out the Lakers. But Harden has a monster. Harden's a big part of doing that, right? So he still gets you 50, 55 FanDuel points. And that's probably enough for cash games. Will that help you win a tournament? Probably not. He needs more than 60 FanDuel points to help you win a tournament. But I could see both arguments in him decide if you want to play him in cash games. Right now, I'm leaning towards no in cash. But that Lakers defense is so juicy, and I want to attack it so much. Ultimately, he's fine for any format you want. Giannis, tournaments only. I just don't trust it right now. I don't know why his usage will not go up. It's perplexing. He should be shooting every time he gets the ball for the Bucks. He'll get a lot of minutes though. The minutes will be there. It's all about what's he going to do with them. But 10.4K is expensive. Bradley Beal. If Wes Matthews is out, I like Beal a lot more. Wes Matthews to me is one of the elite perimeter defenders in the game. So Beal's been so good since the All-Star break and even before the All-Star break that I think he's safe for all formats. But if Wes Matthews is out, I think he's, even though it's Dallas playing down in pace, I still think Beal is, if Wes is out, Beal becomes, to me, an excellent play. If Wes Matthews is in, then he's just a good play. CJ McCollum, he put up an absolute dud on Tuesday, 14 fandom points. So because of recency bias, I will put him in one lineup against the Spurs. Tournament only, though. Wade, I don't feel the need to play Wade. I like Rondo and Butler for the Bulls. Not a Wade fan against Memphis on this slate. Deion Waiters. Yeah, as much as I trash Deion Waiters on this show, I can't argue with how good he's been. He's basically the backup point guard. He initiates a ton of offense. He gets you like 5 assists a game. So if his shot's falling, he puts up monster lines. So against the Pelicans, you can attack Pelicans guards all year. So I think Waiters is fine. Now Dragic being back, that hurts him a little bit, obviously. So maybe tournaments only. He's not cheap, but it's not a horrible play. I certainly like a lot of guys better, though. So I'm not going to go crazy playing Deion Waiters. Devin Booker, I like Devin Booker better than Waiters. Booker's been tremendous the last three games. Not tremendous, but he's been really good. 38, 44, 32, 33. So last four games, he's given you over 30. So and the minutes have been good as well. So he's got a nice floor now, and he's got an okay ceiling. So to me, even again, and you can still attack Sacramento guards. So safe for all formats, Booker. Avery Bradley might be one of the best cash game plays on the board. He's only 5.6K, and I think the minutes restrictions have been lifted. So he could see 35 minutes on Wednesday. If he sees that many minutes against Minnesota, I don't know how he doesn't stumble and bumble and fumble his way to like 25 Fando points, which is perfect for a cash game. And he's got some upside too. So he's safe for all formats. Seth Curry's been really bad the last couple games. So I can't be too excited to play him right now. Tournaments only. I think he felt bad for playing too well and shooting too well and making his brother Steph Curry look bad. Where are we? So other than that, then you got some under 5K guys. You got Jeremy Lamb. If Batum is out, Lamb is a lock and load to me on FanDuel still at 4.9K. I think on DraftKings he's like 5.6K, 5.7K. So on DraftKings, he's not a lock and load. I'd have to think about it. Remember, DraftKings, you only get 8 players. So, you know, it's still Jeremy Lamb, right? At the end of the day, you have to realize, you know, when a guy's price keeps going up and up, at some point the price gets too high. You know, I mean, think of other guys who have taken on bigger roles. I mean, like Terrence Ross, right? We kept playing Terrence Ross, even though his price wasn't even going up. And eventually Terrence Ross started killing us every night. And then we thought about it and we said to ourselves, Terrence Ross. It's Terrence Ross. It's Terrence frickin' Ross. So with Lamb, I get it. We all played him last game. He made us a lot of money. Or actually, maybe he didn't because everyone played him. So if you played him, if you didn't play him, then you lost money for sure. But if you played him, then at least you were basically tied with everyone else. But just take a step back and say to yourself, Jeremy Lamb, Jeremy Lamb. It's still Jeremy frickin' Lamb, right? So to me, I think he's still a good cash game play at 4.9K. To me, he's probably still a good tournament play because he's not a one-trick pony. He rebounds. He does other things on the court. So I think he's safe for all formats on FanDuel, DraftKings. Probably safe for all formats, but on DraftKings, not a lock and load by any means. And that's, again, that's only if Batum's out, obviously. Eric Gordon. Very nice tournament play. And that's how you win tournaments, right? Everyone's still probably going to play Lamb on FanDuel. You can pivot off of Lamb in a tournament, play Eric Gordon the same price. Eric Gordon gets Lakers defense. Could Eric Gordon outscore Lamb? Yeah, sure. Why not? KCP. I don't mind him either. A lot of the Pistons guys, they're so cheap. They could stumble and bubble and fumble their way into value. So 4.7K, he's been bad lately. Yes, we all played him Tuesday. He didn't play well. Detroit got blown out. But if that game stays close, he's going to get 35 minutes and he'll be okay. Buddy Hield, love Buddy Hield. He's been pretty good last couple games, 29, 27, 24 Fando points, and the minutes have been over 30. So the key to me with Sacramento is who's playing, right? Hopefully we'll find out before lineup lock, although I don't know if we will because it's a 10 p.m. Eastern game. If Tyreek is out and Lawson is out, I love Buddy Hield. If those guys are playing, then Buddy Hield takes a hit in minutes and usage. Rodney Hood's ruining my freaking life right now. I can never get that guy right. That's about it for shooting guard. Small forward, Kawhi. The thing I love about Kawhi lately, he's taking a lot of shots. The usage rate's been going up, which is tremendous. He's been getting like 26, 28 shots. And now Aldridge is out. So safe for all formats. Portland can't defend any freaking position. They got blown out on Tuesday, so the back-to-back worries me a little bit with Portland. But hopefully Portland, some pride will kick in. Portland is fighting for that eighth spot. They need to win games. So hopefully they keep it close, and Kawhi should be great. I love Kawhi. I also like Butler. I guess Kawhi would be my preferred choice over Butler. But even Butler against Memphis, I don't care that it's a slowdown game. I really don't. He's going to get all the minutes in the world. I'm more concerned if he's injured because before last game, he had like three straight games where he was really subpar. In some games, as you watch him, he looks like disinterested, and he hasn't been as aggressive lately. So that's more of my concern. If you know, otherwise, a slow game against Memphis, I don't care because he's going to get the ball almost every time. The usage should be okay. I don't think Rondo playing hurts his usage that much. I think maybe they actually can get him some easy buckets. Although, then again, maybe it won't be because maybe the defense just doesn't guard Rondo, then double teams Butler, which that was actually happening earlier in the year, which is one reason Rondo ended up getting benched. So obviously Kawhi over Butler, but Butler's not a terrible play on this slate. I think he's going to be super low owned. So another way you can take down a tournament, you play a guy with a bad matchup. So remember, the Bulls are fighting for playoff spots, for a playoff spot. So right now I like to play guys who have on teams who have something to play for. So Butler's not horrible on the slate. Paul George, just an enigma, a perplexing enigma. I don't know what's harder, figuring out if Paul George wants to play or trying to solve a Rubik's Cube. I can't pronounce Rubik's Cube. I also cannot solve a Rubik's Cube. If you gave me 10 hours, I would not be able to figure that out. Now I'm starting to think about, I mentioned the Rubik's Cube on earlier in this podcast, and now I don't remember if it was on part of the podcast that got cut off due to the audio or not. So who the hell knows? So either you heard a lot about a Rubik's Cubes on this show, or that was the first time you heard me talk about it. Gordon Hayward, there's no upside with Gordon Hayward. There's none. When's the last time he gave you 50 Fando points? Please let me know. I'll wait for an answer. I don't remember. He's in the 30s and 40s every game. So, and now he's getting Detroit. I don't want any part of that disgusting game. Wiggins, the front of the line of Magic Mountain. Will he turn it around at some point? Yeah, he will. When? No one knows. But if you're a tournament player, you put him in a tournament. Does he have a good matchup against Boston? It's okay. The pace should be good. I mean, his tough defense against Crowder. But if he's a guy, if he's making his shots, he's making his shots. Crowder's not Kawhi Leonard. He's not going to shut Wiggins down. But can't play him in cash right now. TJ Warren. I like TJ Warren. He made me a lot of money after the All-Star break. Last two games have been not as great, but he's getting you consistently like around 35 minutes. And even against Sacramento, slow pace game, I think to me, I like that play. I will use him in some tournaments. Quite honestly, you want to use him in cash, you probably can. But I do think Jay Crowder, who's a 5.5K, probably the better cash game play. Crowder will just stumble and bumble and fumble his way into 25 Fando points. If you want to lock and load Bradley and Crowder into your cash game lineups right now, totally, totally fine. Makes sense. All the sense of the world. Trevor Ariza. You know, I think maybe Brandon Ingram's idol is Trevor Ariza, because Brandon Ingram and Trevor Ariza both play like 40 minutes a night and then do nothing with them. That would be a fun little lineup to have. Roster or Ingram and Ariza. You'll be throwing your gavel, your remote. You'll be just so frustrated playing those two guys. Because they'll be on the court the whole time, but they'll just do nothing with it. With that said, tournaments only. Ariza gets the Lakers. Harkless. Yeah, probably not the right slate to play Harkless, but because it's DFS and because, you know, NBA players do bounce back, Harkless will come back with like a 30 Fando point night sometime soon. Brandon Ingram, 4.3K. He's going to play a ton of minutes. I don't care if it's a blowout, not a blowout. So if you play a lot of lineups, I think it's foolish not to put at least one with Ingram. Plus, he has a floor of like 19, and the problem is, I don't know what his ceiling is. He has no ceiling right now, but he's so cheap. If you play him, he's not going to kill your lineup. And if he does decide that he wants to stumble and bumble and fumble into some rebounds, some steals, make some shots, he could easily put up a 30-35 Fando point night. I think it's going to happen this year. So, yeah, I'll have some exposure on the slate. Power forward. Anthony Davis, I'm just not going to pay 11.4K. The Tin Man, he's also sprained that ankle, whatever happened on Tuesday. So, whatever. He's too expensive. Nice tournament play. He has a nice matchup against Miami in terms of who will be guarding him, but the pace of that game will be somewhat of an issue. But he's been great with even with Cousins there. Blake Griffin, this I like. Blake's 8.8K, and I want to attack Bucks defense. So Blake owes me. He owes all of us. He's been subpar the last few games against Utah. I could not believe Gordon Hayward was able to defend him. He had in 37 minutes put up 8 actual points. That's disgusting. So this is a nice bounce back spot for him. He should be able to destroy and have his way with the Bucks interior. Julius Randle, 6.5K. I don't know how Ryan Anderson is going to defend him, but then again, I've seen Ryan Anderson play sneaky good defense this year, which is perplexing me. I just mentioned Blake Griffin. I watched Ryan Anderson defend Blake Griffin pretty well. I mean, what kind of world are we living in where Blake Griffin can be defended by guys like Ryan Anderson and Gordon Hayward? This is not. Jesus Christ. I mean, 3 years ago, Blake would have been dunking all over those guys. But Randle, to me, against Houston, this is an elite tournament play. He could put up 40, 50 FanDuel points against Houston. He really could. Now, it's the Lakers. It's Luke Walton. So all the crazy reasons we hate playing Lakers. If you don't want to do it in cash games, I get it. If you want to do something safer in cash games, do Marvin Williams. He's the greatest player in the world right now, and he grabs every rebound in sight. He doesn't let anyone else for the Hornets grab a rebound. Everyone, he screams, mine. Will it continue? I don't know. Charlotte gets Indiana. The one position you can attack the most out of Indiana, it's power forward. So Marvin's in a good spot again. I mean, Frank Kaminsky is healthy. Charlotte, though, is still somewhat battling for a playoff spot. So I think they're going to keep giving Marvin big minutes as long as he's playing this well. So, yeah, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon on this slate. Am I going to go crazy and play Marvin Williams in all my lineups? No. But, like, I've been fading him the last few nights, and it's costing me money. And I'm not a fan of losing money. So I'm going to play some Marvin Williams on this slate. Just remember, at some point, we're all going to say to ourselves the same thing we said about Terrence Ross, Jeremy Lamb. It's Marvin Williams. I mean, this guy's been he's been a tease for 9 years. It's like the hot girl at work who you've been who keeps telling you for 9 years that she's gonna give you a date, and it never happens. She's like, next week. It's gonna be next week, and then you're like, it's been 9 years. When's this gonna happen? Then maybe she gives you the date. Maybe Marvin Williams is now giving us the date. Other than that, Tobias Harris again. These Detroit guys against Utah, probably not the day I want to play Tobias, but. He's starting now, and he's been pretty good. Willie Cauley-Stein, I think he's still a good tournament play, playing way up against Phoenix. He's been getting some big minutes, so he's a really good tournament play. Ryan Anderson, similar to Julius Randle, I think Ryan Anderson is going to have trouble defending Julius Randle. Julius Randle will have a tough time on the perimeter guarding Ryan Anderson. Ryan Anderson's given you like 26 FanDuel points last two games. He's going to get so many wide open looks against the Lakers. So he's so cheap. I think he's fine. Most people only use him in tournaments. I think he's a really good tournament play on the slate. David Lee starting for LaMarcus Aldridge, and he's locked into, well, with Popovich, who the hell knows how many minutes, because you look at his game log, 30, 18, and 11, last three. And now granted, one of those was a blowout. One, I think Aldridge was playing, I think. Who the hell knows? But he should be safe for cash games, and I want to say safe for all formats. Popovich makes anyone a little queasy, but you also – who do we want to attack for Portland? Power forwards, right? So David Lee, safe for all formats. Thaddeus Young, just what happened to you, Thaddeus? Tournament only. Marquese Chriss has been costing me money. The minutes just haven't been there. It's only been around 24 minutes. I need more than that, so I can't feel too confident about that one. Bijelica. I call him Bijelica. But I think it's Bielica, whatever his name is. Call him Yahtzee, whatever you want to call him. Just think of the guy who's taking all of Gorgie Dang's minutes for Minnesota. He's been good. And Thibodeau's going to be giving him 30 minutes now, three straight games. So it's time to take notice if you haven't been. And he's been like giving you between 20 and 30 FanDuel points for the last couple weeks. So at 4.4K, let us all not ignore Yahtzee, hashtag Yahtzee again. 4.4K against Boston, and we can attack Boston bigs. So, yeah, this is a good day to play him before his price goes way up. Center, Towns. I want to attack Boston bigs. You guys know this. Everyone knows this. So, yes, great play, but he's not cheap, 10.8K. If I play him, I'll probably team up with some Rubio so I get some nice correlation going. Cousins is a beautiful price, 9K. He was 9K on Tuesday, and he came through with 47 FanDuel points in a blowout, only 30 minutes. If he gets 30 minutes against Cousins, he should be able to smash again, or at least get you right around value. So safe for all formats. I really do think against Whiteside. Whiteside is such a lazy, incompetent on-ball defender, so Cousins shouldn't be able to destroy him. At the same time, Whiteside in the last few weeks has been great. He's been consistently like hitting value now for a couple of weeks. You know, coming off of 51 FanDuel points against Indiana. So if I have, if I'm a tournament player and I'm playing the same lineup, I'd play the same lineup and I'd have Whiteside in one and Cousins in the other. But I do think Cousins is the better play. Drummond's going to fall asleep against Utah. No, thank you. Gobert is a sneaky play. One of my favorite things to do is attack Andre Drummond defense. So no one plays Gobert. He's always under 10% owned. Gobert should be able to, like, I could grab rebounds against Drummond, and I'm 5'11". So I think this is a good spot for Gobert. He's going to be low owned, super low owned. DeAndre Jordan, attack Bucks bigs. So I like teaming up, you know, having a lineup teaming up Chris Paul with DeAndre Jordan. Jordan's been hit or miss this year, especially in the last few weeks. So I can't love the play, but it's fine. Nurkic, due to recency bias, I think Nurkic is in play because he had coming off of 22 minutes and 7 FanDuel points on Tuesday. He's already flashed massive upside, and I'm not sure who from the Spurs is going to defend him. I guess it'd be dead man walking a little bit, David Lee a little bit though maybe. So Nurkic is fine, not an elite play against the Spurs, but tournaments, go ahead. I like attacking Charlotte bigs. So Miles Turner is coming off a good game on Tuesday, finally, against the Knicks, because everyone destroys the Knicks. So could Turner also destroy Cody Zeller? Yeah, he's too athletic for Cody Zeller. He can get him out on the perimeter. He can take him down low. He can use his quickness. So I think Miles Turner is a really good play. Don't do it for cash games. Big Sauce Williams, 5.6K. If Alex Len doesn't play, man, if they could start Williams and give him like 34 minutes – he should smash. He's a fantasy point per minute monster. So I'm a big fan of Williams on this slate. I mean, even if Len plays, Williams is still in play for me. So if Len is out, he goes to an elite play. If Len plays, he's still a really, really good play at that price. He's safe for all formats. Gortat, I want to attack Dirk Nowitzki playing the five. So I'll play a little Gortat, and I'll also play a little Mahinmi. Mahinmi's only 3.5K. He's the minimum, you know. It's not a play I'd recommend for cash games, but if he gets 22 minutes and he gets some Dirk's defense or some Salah Mejri, I don't mind that. And I also, if Gortat can get big minutes in this game, which is risky, it's probably tournaments only, Gortat could put up a big number against Dirk or whoever the hell Dallas is going to try to play at center. Zubac and Zeller. So Zeller is 5.1K. He's been sneaky good. Last two games been like 25 to 30 FanDuel points. The problem is Marvin stealing all his rebounds. So if this was a 5-game slate, I think Zeller would be a nice cash game play. On a 10-game slate, you probably can do a little bit better, but it's not horrible. Also, Frank Kaminsky is back. Zubac is 4.9K. It's all about the minutes with all the Lakers guys, man. But I'm telling you, Russell, Randall, Clarkson, Zubac, am I leaving anyone out? Ingram, they're all good plays against Houston because I would say that probably not good cash game plays, but all good tournament plays because really a blowout doesn't really matter. If Luke Walton wants to give his young guys minutes, he can give him minutes. So Zubac to me is an elite tournament play on this slate. He's really offensively skilled. So if he gets 30 minutes, he will put up 30, 35 FanDuel points. Other than that, that's about it for center. All right. So we got through it. So it was a bunch of IT issues and then, you know, dream killers from the players to Tuesday night slate to audio to Google Hangouts. Weird night. It's now 7:45 Eastern. Dear God, I'm going to be so late for work. But since Tuesday sucked, let us all achieve glory on Wednesday. Yeah. All right. That's it. Woo. Man, what a podcast, right? Life is weird, guys. All right. For the bailiff, for the judge, court is adjourned.